Here we go, gang. The Four Outdoorsmen. Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen of Bob Total Country. No, 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 not tonight. It's not on Bob Total Country tonight because the Minnesota Lynx are preempting us. This is the Big Q Radio tonight. But, Boomer, explain what's going to happen. How do these people find us tomorrow, Tuesday, and next Saturday?
Well, I tell you what, happy Sunday evening to the land of 10,000 lakes. If you're tuning in to Big Q Radio right now, Minnesota Lynx are rocking it. So we are going to be playing live on Bob Total Country this Saturday at 6 a.m. So if you're hearing us on your way to the fishing hole, checking out some deer hunting spots, you're probably tuning in right now. And don't forget to check out our podcast. That's available on every Tuesday. I want to thank everyone as we neared that milestone of over 100,000 downloads, plus our 3,000 Facebook fans. But we have an action-packed show tonight, Strewman. What do you think, Producer Mark?
I'm excited. What a beautiful weekend. It was nice and warm, and I'm kind of getting ready for hunting season.
I am. You know, I was chatting.
I love fishing and all, but it's starting to turn a little bit. I can feel it.
You know, I'm ready for both. The nice thing about fall, Strew, man, is you can kind of double down. We use that term a lot called cast and blast. We've done that with our great sponsor out in Devil's Lake, North Dakota with Alumacraft Boats. We'll go out there. We'll do some duck hunting. We'll do some fall fishing for walleyes. It is an absolutely great time of year to do that. And with the fall, a lot of people start thinking about ice fishing. And I had the opportunity to be at the intergalactic headquarters of Clam Outdoors. And what a blast it was, Strew.
I'll tell you, when you're talking about the fishing so far, let's not talk hunting just yet.
We got I know.
Yeah. I know you get excited because you like sitting in the woods. You can't wait to get your first turkey. You got to hear some stories about Mark trying to get his first turkey. It's going to happen. Boomer's going to get you on it. But I have to fish a little bit more because you guys saw my Polish Alumacraft out there, right?
Yeah.
In the parking lot?
Yeah.
Just bought myself a kayak.
That's very interesting, Strew, for a man that doesn't like to do anything out on the boat or on the water.
No,
for
no,
you
no,
to get a
it's
kayak.
Got, it's got a cocktail holder right by my left hand.
Does it have a motor?
I'm the motor man.
My goodness. Well, getting back to going to Rogers, Minnesota, Clam Outdoors, they do it every year. They've been a great sponsor of our show, plus Blackfish Gear. They had over 300 to 400 people there from across the United States and Canada talking ice fishing. And I tell you what, I still get goosebumps when the friend of the show, the legend, the godfather, Dave Gens, goes out there and addresses the group because he's the guy that kicked this dream off 30 years ago when he developed the first fish trap for mobile ice fishing, right?
Yep.
And he went up there and the crowd just went nuts, got on their feet. A lot of cool stuff coming in ice fishing. I know the name of the game is always mobility. We talk about in the open water with the Alumacraft that you never want to stick to memories too long and go to where the structure is holding the fish or where the bait fish are at. The same with ice fishing. And it was really neat from apparel, from new tackles. Our friend of the show, Jason Mitchell, he has the meat stick rod. They just came out with another version of that called the Dead Meat. Kind of interesting for Mitchell, isn't it?
If you've never been up to Clam, don't know much about Dave Gens, but get a chance, sneak up to Clam Outdoors. Is that what it's called, Clam Outdoors? Is that what the company's called?
I would guess. They only have about 80% of the market share, Wildcard.
It's Clam Outdoors. I just call them Clam. I just call them Blue, the Blue Company.
Yeah, Clam Bleed Blue, right?
But in the lobby, when you walk into their building up there, they have probably the original fish trap that
Mr. Gens
his wife made. I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but it was so cool to see what it was like 40 or 50 years ago when he designed the first actual fish house and to where it is today.
Yeah,
it's pretty
cool.
It's
funny how the outdoor world is so big, but it's so small because even with Game Fair that went on the last two weekends, and bless my mom, as a taxidermist, we've been there since it started 30 years ago. Dave Gens was at Game Fair 30-something years ago introducing the fish trap. So it's kind of funny how that comes full circle, Strew, man. But I want to say hello and shout out to my lovely wife. I think she got a couple nice biggins this Sunday and today. She was out in Prairie du Chien.
Prairie du Chien, where my sister Lisa lives.
Yeah, that was an interesting place to go and see. I don't remember the pools down there. Was it pool? You guys know, Michael or Brian, what pools it is down there in Prairie du Chien? Is it 8 and 9? No, 9. 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Those are the pools down there where they're fishing. Now, I'll be fishing this Friday on pools 3 and 4 down by Treasure Island Casino, where I was just at for the Alumacraft dealer meeting, because I'll be down there with Alumacraft, some BRP, Evinrude folks are going to be down there for the big wigs from Pepsi and Mountain Dew. So I'll be doing a little guiding down there. Keep your fingers crossed, Strew, man, that we catch some fish like we did on Izadi's Resort for Mille Lacs.
Why is Alumacraft tied with Pepsi and Mountain Dew? Just curious.
You know what? It's just because I got the invite from some of the BRP folks, and they're looking for some people that hopefully can catch them some fish, put some smiles on their faces, and some memories in their iPhones.
You could bet $25 that Boomer's not going to have one sentence without name dropping a sponsor. That's going to happen. That's the best in the business.
That's why we do it in radio.
That's why
my
Boomer's
friend.
Here. I tell you, we're talking about shout outs. Talk about what the shout outs are, then I've got a shout out for you, a very special shout out.
Okay, I got some shout outs here. Now, everyone can go to the 4 Outdoorsman Facebook page and comment in the shout-out post, and we'll read it on air. We've been doing this for a while, and it's kind of fun to hear from everybody. First shout-out is from our friends Justin and Jennifer. They do a shout-out just about every week, and the funny thing is they say they were able to sneak away from the kids this weekend and score some walleyes and perch on Leak Lake for our 10-year anniversary. Congratulations. The funny thing is they take their kids fishing every weekend, then they have a weekend without their kids, and they go fishing. So they're pretty hardcore.
So they took a weekend without the kids, and they scored of some walleye. You
yes,
got to be kidding
yes.
me. That's, they're special
also,
people, I'll tell you that.
Melissa Kennedy says, Michaela, my 9-year-old daughter, caught a 29-inch walleye on 8.5 in Canada on Rady Lake. She handpicked her own minnow, baited her own hook, and reeled this beauty all on her own. Only thing her dad did was net it and help her hold this majestic fish.
You
hey,
that?
That's a fish of a lifetime. And man, to be 9 years old, that's pretty sweet.
Now, one thing that bothers me about that comment is at 11 years old, my old man took me to Lake Phelan in a rowboat. How many of these kids get to go to, you know, Canada and fish with the old man and catch a 29-inch walleye? Good for you, young lady, okay? Shout out for me. My turn?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead,
buddy. All right, here we go, gentlemen. 36 years, my gorgeous wife and I are married 36 years tomorrow. I'm so blessed, Diana. Thank you for taking care of me and putting up with me.
We love you, Diana.
Yeah,
I know you're listening like every week.
Everyone on the air knows that I call her my gorgeous wife, and she is. She's funny. She's pretty. She works hard. I love her dearly, and she's put up with me for 36 years. I'm very blessed. Happy anniversary, sweetheart. There you go.
Well, my shout-out isn't as emotional as good as yours, Drew, but it is pretty cool shout-out. It's for the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund happening this weekend, or no, next weekend,
yeah.
The 25th and the 26th of August at Arrowwood Resort. Nicole and I will be emceeing that event. Pretty excited. Saturday, the big musician who's playing, and I always butcher his name. Who's the guy?
Mick Sterling.
Yeah, wasn't he on Jay Leno?
He was on Jay Leno.
You
Mick
want a
Sterling and the Stud
an
Brothers. No. I've
Stream
met him a number of times. Mick Sterling is the real deal. He's a great, great entertainer. Go up there. Even if you don't fish, even if you don't want to support Daniel Drevnik Foundation, go see Mick Sterling.
Well, I tell you what, you do want to, because this is a foundation that gives scholarships to veterans and active military that are pursuing a career in law enforcement.
Great idea.
And they've given out already close to about $100,000 in scholarships. So Saturday, we'll be taking some veterans and active military out fishing. We have the banquet Saturday night with Mick Sterling, food, fun, giving away some prizes. And then, after that auction, Sunday is the Derby. And I'll be paired up with our partner in crime and friend of the show, Scotty Merwin from Lake Osakis Guide Service. So that should be fun. And then hightailing back for our broadcast at
and
the fair.
And try not to get a speeding
ticket. But who's going to emcee this wonderful event?
I just said that, but that was a great segue. My beautiful wife is allowing me to emcee with her at this event.
Good.
So it should be a double down, double strategy. It's going to be a lot of fun.
By the way, most of our listeners know about the Daniel Drevnik Fund because we've been promoting it for a number of years here.
Sixth annual.
Daniel Drevnik was a young man in the military who was killed, unfortunately. His dream was to become involved in as a police officer, as a conservation officer, DNR, or something like that when he got out of the military. Unfortunately, didn't make it. And his mom and dad took lemons and made it into lemonade and it started this big foundation for him. And all the scholarships go to young men and women who have military experience, who want to get involved in police work, conservation work, that kind of stuff.
And if
Pretty
you want
cool.
to catch bass or walleye, it's a multi-species tournament with a really good payday. Scotty and I think finished fourth or fifth last year, so pretty excited to see if we can keep that going. Producer Mark.
It's a good partner to have, man, I'll tell
yes,
you.
Yes, it is.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to our new sponsor starting this week, Deadshot Custom Call Company.
Yep.
We're going to have them on our live broadcast next week at the Minnesota State Fair. So if you are at the fair or want to come down and say hi to all of us, Stu will bring his Sharpie for autographs.
I will.
And
same Sharpie for 6 years.
We will have Deadshot Custom Call Company. They're going to talk about their partnership with Wildlife Forever. They're doing a special call where a portion of the sales goes to help Wildlife Forever. So it should be a great time down at the fair. It's always fun down there, isn't it?
I love it at the fair. You know,
how many times have we been down there at the fair?
I think we've been down there ever since we've been on radio. So almost for 6 years. We were there with
the
ticket with Bob Country, right?
The first year we went down there, maybe the second year we were not exactly where the where we are right now across in the Coliseum, but we went down there without a clue as to what the hell was going on. We had no guests, so I'm running between commercials, picking up DNR people, and we had the Falconer. Remember that guy came and all that? Who wants to be on the air? Help us out here. Yeah, but we're going to be better this time. We're more prepared this time.
Yeah, we are, and it's going to be fun. You know, the Great Minnesota Get-Together, we'll be smacking down cheese curds or Sweet Martha cookies with a couple beverages. I absolutely love coming to the fair. But, guys, we're going to have a busy fall coming up because not only are we going to make another trip to Devil's Lake this fall, but it's going to be a cast and blast. So Nicole and I have done that, but we're going to be taking out the Alumacraft with the wild card and producer Mark, and we're going to double down on some walleyes and hopefully some mallards, because the Prairie Pothole region, it's supposed to be a really good year for ducks. And then I'm excited about a future guest. I talked to him today. Jared Wickland is another friend of the show from Pheasants Forever. The roadside counts, if you're a pheasant hunter, are coming out in the first part of September. So Jared's going to be joining us on air or either in studio to talk about what the pheasant out looks like for this pheasant hunting
season. Looking forward to talking to Jared. We've had him on a couple of times before as well, but nobody really knows anything until you see the road counts, or you get all these road counts from whoever does the road counts. But my guess is there's a lot of concern about the wet spring and summer, and I don't know how that's going to affect the population of the pheasants, but Mr. Lukey has an answer.
Well, I've learned some insights because we produce the flush and rooster tails, so I like to hear all this
Who's
stuff.
Who's we?
Ron Scheer Productions.
There you go, buddy. Yep.
So the flush is on Outdoors Channel right now, and Rooster Tails is on Fox Sports North in Wisconsin. Anyway, what I heard and was surprising to me is it's not how cold the spring is that affects the chicks. It's snow cover. So if there's snow cover, they can't find forage. So that's a problem. And that's going to be a problem, I think, this year, because remember how much snow and ice we had so late? So you never know, but if you go on snow cover, we're probably in trouble.
And Stru, we've got a task for you because you are the ultimate task manager when
it comes to
gas. When we start talking about pheasant outlooks and waterfall outlooks, we're also going to have to get maybe Greg Enval back on from the MDHA, the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, and let's see how our deer population is looking for this year's rifle hunt.
By coincidence, I just called Craig today to see if he wanted to be on the air either today or sometime maybe the state fair, and he hasn't got back to me yet, but he's the man. You know, he knows what's going on. I'll get him.
Let's talk about today, right? So we've got a great show. We've got a full house. I want everyone to get close to their mics and say hi, because we're going to be interviewing you guys after the first break. But bass fishing, as we know, has been a growing sport. And in fact, fishing across the board has been a growing sport. But bass fishing related to youth and high school is really, really big down south. I've seen that through my travels to ICAST, with the FLW, with the Bass Elites all over the place. And we have a special guest in studio because Minnesota represented our great state down in Tennessee just less than a month ago to participate in the national championships. And the two kids, and I'm going to say kids being 40 years old now, Nathan and Brian from Egan, took third place, guys, right? How cool is that? Can you give them a round of applause? So I got a couple of on mic here. So we have Brian and his dad, Michael. Hey, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It's good to have you guys on. I mean, I know it was probably hard to fish in Tennessee, knowing that if you took in the top five, you'd be on our radio show. But we'll save that story for a little bit later. But we're really happy to have you guys in studio. And then after break at 6:20 to 6:40, after you guys are done, at around 6:45 for our listeners, stay tuned because we have another friend of the show, Scotty Seibert, who's with SKS Guide Service. And what did he just do, Stream?
He just fished in a tournament. You know the name of the tournament, Lake of the Woods. I forget the name
of the AIM
tournament.
The AIM Walleye Series.
And they didn't do well, as a matter of fact. But the story he told me today, because that's where I got he was nice enough to pick up that kayak for me. The story he told me today when I was at his house not more than an hour ago is worth sharing. It's amazing what the numbers were that the winners did. Don't say it yet. Let Scotty tell the story.
Yep.
And it's going to be fun. So he's going to be on the second half. Who do we have in the corner over there, buddy?
Well, I think we have mom and sister, if they can get to the mic and say hello.
Hello. Hi, I'm Megan.
Hello.
Wow, you guys are naturals for radio.
And,
yeah.
And Annette, right?
Annette.
I remember that because that was my first girlfriend's name. Oh,
oh
really? I can remember that name.
Oh, that's
Annette Kazmierczak, 1995.
And she was named after Annette Funicello, is my guess, right?
Well, I tell
Annette,
you.
Annette is mom and Megan is a daughter. Megan and Annette, mom, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. Thanks for bringing these guys in.
Yeah. Yep. And I tell you what, Annette gets the accomplishment for being the mom that helped raise this with the two fanatics over here, Michael and Brian. I mean, Michael's got his fishing jersey on. Brian's got his Bassmaster Elite jersey on. And now let's not forget about sister, because she just graduated from Topeka at KU, right?
Yeah.
Let's give her a round of applause, huh? Bring her into the show. Now I want to give another round of applause to friend of the show, John Marshall. He just texted me. And during Clam Pro Day, I was getting some texts. John was headed up to Mille Lacs to take a veteran out fishing. So I shared with him our little sweet spot on that flat and what we were doing. And he just sent me a nice text.
That's beauty.
So congratulations, John. Yep, they just creamed that one. Good job, guys.
Hey, listen, I'm going to ask Megan a question, all right? Get close to the mic. This is a good friend of mine, and we've had him on the show once years and years ago. Don Hack used to be, now he is the superintendent of schools in Spring Valley, Wisconsin, I think of what it is. And he's, you know, he's got his doctorate and all that. He was with same position in Spooner. We became good friends. And we're talking about family when I first met him. Because I sell real estate. He had an opportunity to sell his lake home in Spooner. And we're talking about family. And his daughter just graduated from college about 4 years ago when I met him. And I said, well, what is she doing? She actually got a degree in florist arrangements.
Oh, wow.
And it drove him crazy. She likes flowers. And he said, where she's going to go with florist arrangements, I have no idea. That being said, let's see, what kind of degree did you get?
Broadcast journalism.
All right.
Well, maybe she is a natural for radio, Stu.
There you go.
Did you know the answer
to that?
Well,
she's shy. She's sitting in the corner back there. But, well, good for you, young lady.
Thanks.
Good for you.
And let's not forget, we're going to have Nathan dialing in, who was Brian's teammate up at the Egan High School team. And is he in Brainerd right now?
Up by Brainerd. He's at his cabin in Hackensack, Minnesota.
Oh, that's where we deer hunt, buddy.
He's fishing on 10 Mile Lake. I don't know if you guys know
sure.
Where that is.
Yeah, we know that lake. Now, is he going to be mad you told us the lake? Is that a secret lake to him? Or?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, maybe you can give us some waypoints afterward on air and see if he turns, all right? But we've got a great show. So that was just Brian and Michael and Annette and Megan. Nathan's going to be calling in. They are with the Egan High School team. They're both going on with their lives. They just graduated. But they finished in third place in the high school national championship with Bassmaster and producer Mark.
Oh, I'm just saying 1 minute.
Well,
oh,
1 minute. I thought you just 1 minute.
You know what my week was like. We know what Boomer's is like. You got about 45 seconds to tell us what your week was like.
No, I had a great week. I went down to Game Fair and said hi to everybody. I took my family to my in-law's farm. And Nick rode a Ranger for the first time all by himself at 5 years old.
Cool.
We took him shooting. He shot his first .22.
Wow.
So it was a good time. Drove tractors, all sorts of good stuff down on the farm. And now he's got some weird skin virus that I spent the afternoon in urgent care figuring out. So
like I was telling you,
don't watch. He's going to be all right?
He's going to be all right. It's just that's part of having kids, right?
Well, don't watch 2020. I told you, don't watch 2020 that was on last night because the guy had something similar and they had to take his hands off.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Thank you for being the glass half full stream, man.
Yeah, so don't watch 20. Don't watch it on demand.
Nick, don't worry, your hands aren't coming off.
A big shout out, the guy that makes it happen behind the scenes and keeps us in line. Brandon, thanks for all you do, brother.
All right, we're going to be back in the Four Outdoorsman with these guys.
Who are these guys?
The fishermen.
Brian and Nathan. Bemidji High School is where Brian's going, and they're from Egan High School, and they just took third place in the High School Bassmaster National Championship in Tennessee.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the Weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the four outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at DeadshotCustomCalls.com.
Hi, this is Kyle Barr from Juice Baits. When you're fishing with soft plastics this season, you're going to rock it when you choose Juice Baits. Juice Baits are a less expensive alternative with a huge variety of options, such as craw tubes, creature baits, Senkos, tubes and jig trailers, swim baits and finesse worms, and a wide selection of crappie baits. See the entire selection of Juice Baits at juicebaits.com and like our Facebook page. When you hit the water, throw the juice. Juice Baits, a Minnesota company.
All right, we're back, the Four Outdoorsmen, Bob Country. We're on the Big Q Radio this Sunday night, so if you're tuning in on a Saturday morning on your drive to your favorite fishing spot or maybe checking out some field cams for deer hunting, we are the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. And tonight, we have two high school students that are going on to college, Bemidji State University, and Nathan is going to be joining us on the phone, and they just took third place at the Bassmaster National High School Championship. And Brandon, do we have Nathan on the phone as well? All right.
Yep, we got him.
Nathan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right, Nathan, welcome to the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country. We are going to start with you, Brian, and I know your dad is mic'd up with you over there, and your mom, Annette's over there with your superstar sister who just graduated from KU.
She's a track star.
Oh, she's a track star.
Absolutely.
Another interview, right? Brian, how did you get your love for fishing, and where did it all start?
I'd have to say it started with my grandpa. He had a place down in Marco Island, Florida, and I'll never forget it. He gave me a fishing pole, and we went to a beach, just a suntan or whatever, and I had this little, I don't know, like Scooby-Doo pole or whatever. Oh, yeah. It was just a little button one, you know, back in the day, and there's this guy on the beach fishing for just whatever his bite, but he had a bucket of minnows, and I'm this little kid that comes up to the little pole. I'm like, hey, can I borrow one of your minnows? He's like, sure. My first cast out there, I catch like a 50-pound black drum.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
On that little pole, and the thing was way bigger than I was, and he was like, wow.
Well, would that be a video? Dad, did you get that on video?
I got pictures of it.
Did you?
Yeah, back then the iPhones weren't quite as popular, but I definitely got a lot of snapshots.
Oh, yeah. Did you use the Polaroid where you take the picture and it just kind of comes out like that?
I think it was one of my smartphones, but yeah, we got some nice pictures of it.
I love it. And Nathan, how did you first get your love for fishing?
Well, it all started with my dad. We have a cabin up north on Ten Mile Lake, and we have a pontoon, and we went to this one spot and used to use live bait ever since I was 4 years old, and went to this one spot almost every day and just caught a bunch of bass doing that. I just fell in love, so.
That's awesome. So, Nathan and Brian, and Michael, I was talking to you a little bit. I want to backtrack before we talk about you guys just having an awesome tournament down in Tennessee and representing the great state of the 10,000 Lakes. You guys went to the high school, and take it from there, Michael, saying, or Brian, we want to start a high school bass fishing team. And then what happened right after that conversation?
Me and Nathan, we started fishing together.
Wait a minute, kid, you're going to college, right?
Yeah, I'm going to
Nathan
college.
Nathan and I, okay? Nathan and I.
Don't worry, he studied English, so he does that to all of us.
Yeah.
Well, Nathan and I started fishing in a little pond behind our house, and the city of Eagan just stocked it with bass like 2 years before that. And we would go out there and like I say this is where our bass fishing roots had kind of started. We would go out there, throw like little Mr. Twister grubs.
Cause yeah.
And we were the bass, we would just catch like 20, 30 a day. And we're like, oh my gosh, it's fun. then we actually started, we bought our first bait casters. We started learning that. And then I heard about a high school fishing program. I'm like, Nathan, we could do this, man. That sounds fun. So my dad over here researched a lot into it. And do you want to tell him a little bit
about it? So then what you recall some of those first days of fishing, Nathan, anything to add to that?
Oh, yeah. So the high school program, so we were looking into that, and we knew a lot of other schools had that, and we just wish we could start doing what they were doing because we saw all these cool tournaments, and we figured why not try it out. So me and Brian and I created that club, and we did our first tournament on the Whitefish chain. And we actually ended up finishing second on that first tournament ever out of 100 boats.
Hold on, yep, Michael. There's a little more to that
story,
though,
right? Yeah, so there's
though,
a little
right?
more. So really, that's a great story. But what happened originally was the boys, I said, if you guys want to start a fishing club, what you needed is a high school to sponsor you to be part of it. And they went in, they pulled up their guts as sophomores, and they went in and they sat down with the principal and administrator and said, we want to start a bass fishing club.
And they're like, what? There's such thing as a bass fishing club?
And they came home and sat with a little tail between their legs and said, Dad, it doesn't look like we can do it. They won't put us on the program. So I said, well, there's got to be a way. I actually called the Minnesota Bass Association and said, well, if you're not going to be affiliated with the high school, you can follow all the rules and start a club on your own. So I said, boys, here's what you need to do. You need to start a club and get to a place where you're very productive and showing that this is a real deal.
You bet.
And I think they got something to go to the school now to show a real deal.
How long did it take from day one till the time the school finally said, okay, we're going to give this a shot? Was it a year?
It might be now. We'll have to go in with our national championship trophy and show them what's really happening.
So this is still considered a club and not part of the Eagan High School, right?
It's an affiliation. You have to use the high school boundaries and districts to follow it.
Yep.
However, it's a standalone club. And the Minnesota Junior Bass was very helpful. Back then it was Jeff Gilmore that helped us set it up and figure out how to do it, because there's not only clubs now in the state that are affiliated with high schools, over 75.
Yeah, right.
But there's also a number of clubs as well.
Why would the schools be resistant then? Because this is the next to probably trap shooting and skeet shooting, whatever you want to call it, is the fastest growing high school sport in the country.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. When we started in our first tournament in the high school, the state championship, there's 97 boats. And now there's over 500 boats.
Isn't that something?
In just 2-3 years, it's grown.
Is there an issue with – I kind of went through something similar when we wanted to start a volleyball program when I was in high school, and there was an issue with Title IX where they couldn't make it an official sport because it has to even out. But women can be on the bass team as well.
Absolutely.
So there isn't any issue with that kind of thing.
Nope. So what the boys decided to do is, first of all the organizations, whether it be BASS or FLW – have insurance policies that you have to carry on your boats. They make the boat needs to be captained by an adult, one of the parents.
Right.
Okay.
There has to be certain requirements on a boat that you have to have that can safely store your fish, certain size of motor, and a certain length of boat that can travel. So those are some restrictions that made it hard for us to get started. I'm a big walleye fisherman and have been a bass fisherman all my life, but I instantly went out and bought myself a used bass boat. It lasted about 9 months, and the boys told me 115 enough, and 18 feet ain't long enough to handle Mille Lacs. Yeah. So we've upgraded about 6 or 9 months later to
And people complain about hockey equipment being too
expensive. All you need is a fishing pole and a jig. That's all it takes. It's not an expensive
Brian's
sport.
Brian's asked me before, he said, Dad, I'm going to make $1 million bass fishing. I said, I know how you make $1 million bass fishing, Brian. Your dad pays $2 million.
Yeah, that's right.
Start off a billionaire is our inside joke. So talk to me about, you guys went up on the Whitefish chain for your first tournament. Maybe a little bit intimidated, right? Because there was other seasoned high school teams up there. How many teams were there, and where did you guys finish again?
We finished second place, and there's 97 boats.
Wow. And your dad was telling me the story. You guys had some pretty cool swag on, didn't
you,
Michael?
So we got up there, and it was more of the tournament, and all these kids had jerseys and all their sponsors. We were like, oh, my God. Like, Nathan, look at all these guys. They're yeah. pros. And we just had little Tackle Warehouse shirts on.
Yep.
And then we were just like, oh, God. Well, we're just going to go out and go fishing. So pre-fishing, we were fishing for smallmouth, like, most of the time. And then the day of the tournament, it was raining, and we went up some, like, river creek thing and threw frogs, and we busted them, and, like, we caught, I can't remember what our bag was. I think it was, like, 12 or 13 pounds or something like that. But then after, like, 2-3 hours of fishing, the tournament director called us and said, tournament's over. There's a big storm coming. So everyone come back to the boat launch. So then we're like, oh, well, we got five. I don't know what our other boats have. And I remember when we were walking up there with our bag of the fish, the first bag we heard was a 16-pound bag. And we were like, oh. And that was the team that ended up getting first. So we had no idea. We were probably like, oh, well, at least we caught five. And then we got up there, and they're like, do you guys have five? We're like, yeah, we got five. They're like, oh, you guys better watch out. To all the other guys, we're like, really?
They're talking smack?
Yeah.
Like in the NBA.
Yeah, and then we got up there. He's like, boys from Egan, this is their first tournament. They made a good showing, 12 pounds or whatever. We were like, wow. Everyone's like, who are these guys showing us up from Egan?
But, hey, Nathan, you tell us about your first memories of that tournament.
Yeah, I remember that was just such a great experience. It was our first tournament. We didn't really know what to expect at all. And 97 boats at the time, that seemed like
that's
a ton of boats.
Yeah, so,
that's a ton of boats.
You know, and now there's, you know, 300, 400 boat tournaments, and 97 boats just seems so small. So it was definitely intimidating at the time, but that was just super fun catching all those fish. We changed our plan like the night before the tournament and found that one creek channel, and we went up there and caught all those fish on the frog. And like Brian was saying, we were just hoping to get the top, finishing like the top 20. We knew we had five fish and did pretty good, but we just had no idea.
So we got 8 minutes left with the interview with you guys. So let's fast forward to Tennessee. And
well,
you guys,
how'd you get to Tennessee?
Yeah,
how'd you
real quick, and then let's talk about that process of what it was like in Tennessee. How did you guys get to Tennessee? Real quick with that, and then tell us what it was like when you got there.
I can tell you how they qualified. That first tournament they fished up in Brainerd with all the Brainerd teams and everybody else. They got second in the state, and that qualified you for state. They take the top 5 or 10%.
Yes.
So in the state of Minnesota, they sent two from the state tournament that year. So this is their second year of going to nationals.
Cool.
And this year, they had to eliminate down to 50 boats to send to state out in western Minnesota and on Washington Stella. And they took top 10% there. They took five out of that, and we were the fifth place boat.
So you guys get ready, and you're headed down to Tennessee. Tell me what it's like from when you check in, the rules meeting, and then walk us through day one, day two, and then the final 12 and day three.
Well, we drove down there on Friday. I got off work at like 4, and we started our drive at like 5, and we drove all night. And we got there probably at like 3 in the morning on Saturday. And pre-fishing started that Saturday. So we half-fished that day because we were tired. Didn't catch anything that day. We pre-fished Sunday. Didn't catch anything that day.
Wow.
Down there. It was really tough fishing because down there now there's Asian carp in. They call it Kentucky Lake. And the carp, they're jumping everywhere. There's you look in your graphic. All right, we're going to find some bass and just – your graphs just loaded with carp. And then on Monday was the day that we had check in all that stuff. So we fished a couple hours in the morning, then we went to registration. That's fun. There's a big line. You get all these free tackle and baits from all the sponsors there. Then you sit in a big auditorium. They give a lecture and all that, get free food. Then the official practice started on Tuesday. And Tuesday... So for the first 2.5 days, we didn't catch a single fish, and we were fishing out deep. And I went down there, they call ledge fishing, because first it was a river, and back in, like, I don't know, 1840, whatever, they put a dam on it and it flooded it out. So the lake down there is 189 miles long.
Oh, boy.
So let me stop you there because when you talk about ledge fishing, I can remember when Jason Lambert, through the FLW tournament, broke the century mark, which means, Stru, after his 3 or 4 days, he had over 100 pounds of fish that he brought in. So Kentucky Lake is really known to be a lake advantageous for ledge fishermen. Nathan, what did you think when those practices were taking place and you guys were not getting bass? Were you getting a little worried, or what was going through your mind?
Yeah, we're definitely getting worried at that point. Because the year before that, we were slaying them on the ledges. We thought there's got to be fish on the ledges out deep. We were just so committed to it, and we just figured we gotta try something different. So the practice day after the first practice day, I think it was day two. Day two of the practice, we actually found this creek, and we realized there was colder water in the back of there. So we tried fishing in a creek or two. We found clear water creeks and dirty water creeks, and we found fish in both of them. But we caught one or two fish in this one creek, and we were like, oh my God, this is the first time we've actually caught, we haven't seen a bass in so long, and we caught like two or three bass in that creek, and we were freaking out because of that. We knew there was fish there. We knew we didn't want to pound it out, so we would have fish for the tournament. And we just saved that creek, and we were hoping it turned out good for us. So,
all right, so how many days is this tournament? 2 or 3 days?
It's 2 days, and then after...
So your first day, what did you guys end up catching?
We caught 10 pounds, 15 ounces, and we were in like 27th, 25th place.
All right, so you had to change strategy the second day, right?
Well, actually... Okay, so with this creek he's talking about, for comparison, the water temp on the main lake was like high 80s, and back in this creek it was mid 70s.
Yeah.
Wow. So we caught all of our fish on like two or three trees. It was like a stretch about like 200 yards, really, and we just stuck with that. And just in practice, we were catching 15-inchers, 14-inchers, and then the first day we caught a couple nice ones and some 15-inchers. And day two, we just caught really big fish. I mean, they just caught bigger. I think the day two, we had
15 plus pounds.
Yeah, we had 15 plus pounds. And then,
so one of the things we're going to do, Brian, Nathan, Michael, and Annette, and Megan, is we are going to carry this interview over into our third segment, or after second break. So it's interesting when you talk about the creek and you found colder water and clean water and dirty water. I'm a big lake type of fisherman, but when I do fish rivers with my wife or charity events, clean water is always what I try to focus on, right? Sometimes you find more active fish, but you guys found them in both the dirty water and the clean water up the creek.
And we found they were biting better in the dirty creeks.
Yeah,
clear, they were spooking off on us.
Yep.
Your shallow water, fishing off shorelines in shallow water, the fish would spook off.
Wow. All right, now, that comment, of course, is going to answer the question I was going to ask. Were you in the boat? Were you captaining the boat?
Yep.
And what are your responsibilities and what you can and what you cannot do?
As a boat captain during the tournament, there's two things you can really do. You can start the big motor and you can drive the big motor.
Is it hard to stay quiet, Dad?
Well, when it was 104 every day, I still got a tan that won't quit after 8 days in the boat. But a fish captain of the boat, his only job is to drive the big motor. You can't touch a trolling motor. You can't tie a line. You can't tell the boys where to fish. You can't touch a trolling motor.
Is there a marshal there too?
You are the marshal, so to speak.
There's actually one mandatory break during the day from 9:30 to 10. And the boat cap can tell us anything they want during that time.
There you go.
We talk strategy during that, but I'm here to tell you, these two guys know more about it than I do.
Mark. All right, guys, we're going to carry you guys through the break, if that's all right with you. Keep talking about your big win, and then we'll have Scott on a little bit after that in the second break. So stay tuned to get the grand finale of this story of our friends winning second place.
Third place.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the four outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the 4 Outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at deadshotcustomcalls.com.
Hi, this is Tyler Barr from Juice Baits. Juice Baits is a Minnesota company based out of Brainerd. Juice Baits are tried, true, and tested by me and my brother Kyle, who are both high school fishing state champions. And we know a good bait, so we came up with Juice Baits. Buy the whole line of soft plastics infused with the juice and get ready for boatloads of fish this season. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and see the whole Juice Baits story on the web at juicebaits.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
All right, we're back, Strew Man.
Well, hang on a second. Mom's got something to say. Tell us, Mom. Come on, Mom. Get on the mic.
Come on, Mom.
Tell us what you wanted to say.
Well, we're just proud of them because this is the highest finish of any Minnesota team ever in the Bassmaster to finish third in the nation.
Yeah.
We're proud of them.
All right, so we left off. Day one, you had a bag of five fish, right?
5 fish for about like 11 pounds.
All right. And then you get into day two and you scraped up. What'd you scrape up on day two?
A little over 15 pounds.
So you had 15 pounds going into the end of day two into the weigh-in.
That's 26.
To get to day three, you have to be in the top 12, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you think when you were at the wells there, keeping your fish alive and going into weigh-in, did you think you had enough to crack the top 12? Because you don't have Bassmaster Live on
this thing, right?
Yeah. So you have no idea where you're sitting.
I thought that we had a chance, but either way, I mean, we got to be proud of ourselves. We caught 5 fish both days, and people would come in with only 1 or 2 fish all the time. And they'd be like, do you guys got 5? I'm like, yeah, we got 5. Like, wow, we've only heard about like 1 or 2 people having 5 fish. We were like, yeah, well, maybe we have a shot.
Brian, what were you thinking going into the end of day two? Did you think you had enough for day three?
I was really excited to find out. I knew that we had, I knew there was a chance we had enough. But like Brian said, no matter what, we were going to be happy. And we were sitting in those the weigh tanks with our fish, and we realized that, we were listening to the numbers of the weights and saw the leaderboard a little bit, and we realized right before we went out there that we might, that we're going to get it. So we were super happy about that. Making it to sixth place going into day three, very exciting.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, to put this thing into perspective, we're talking with Nathan Thompson and Brian Linder. They took third place in the Oak Bassmaster High School National, the Mossy Oak Bassmaster National High School Tournament in Tennessee, sorry about that.
Kentucky Lake
in Tennessee. There were 337 teams, about 670 kids, and you guys ended up taking third. That is phenomenal. Let's go back to Nathan. Nathan, when you started day three, you knew where you were going to day three. Did you have to change your strategy then? What was the plan, or did you just keep going straight ahead?
Well, we figured, we caught our fish the first 2 days doing our one strategy in that creek. So we just decided we're not going to change it one bit. We're just going to go and do the same thing. We had some backup creeks in mind that we've caught fish in pre-fishing. So we thought about trying those when we were planning on day three, and that's also what we did, but we'll get to that when we talk about day three.
So. Was it tough to sleep on the night of day two?
Yeah,
it was definitely.
The only thing that I was worried about is the creek we were going to, the water kept on dropping single day. And we had to idle through a flat about 2 feet of water to get back into the creek. We had to idle for like 20 minutes to get back there. And the water was dropping every single day. I'm like, if the water drops, we're screwed.
Right.
We're going to have to start pushing pretty hard, boys.
Did you guys have anyone following you toward that creek?
No, we did not.
There you go.
So that was good. Yeah. That was good.
It was real shallow water. As the boat captain, I've seen a lot with these two boys over the last 3 years. Of course, I sit in the council and drink a lot of water and get awfully hot. But they also were in second place down at Pickwick a month earlier. That's the FLW National Championship. There was 397 teams. Day one, they brought in a 23-pound bag, which put them in second place.
Wow.
And that was a two-day tournament with a third-day final. And that night, they were nervous as cats. And I told them, boys, we got to learn from this. Because the next day they went out, and we had every boat from the landing chasing us out to our ledge where we'd hammered them, or they did, the day before. People started casting in on them. They got all out of wits. They totally lost their
composure.
We called that timeout when they have that official timeout. I said, boys, it's your decision, but my decision is we got to leave. We've got four or five boats casting basically into the back of our boat. I said, we've got to move, but it's your decision. And they thought about it in the front bow together, and they said, Coach Linder, we got more confidence here on this ledge than the other three or four. Now, they changed their mind an hour before the end of their call back in time. They went down, they caught two big ones, and they had another third large 6-7-pounder, who knows, on the line, and it jumped and threw the hook. That brought them into 15th place in the nation. They went from second to 15th. But they learned on this tournament that you got to make good decisions, you got to make quick ones, and that final day they can tell you about the two other decisions they made when they only had two fish in the live well.
Well, let's get to that right away. So we're day three, you got two fish in the live well. Mm-hmm. You're competing in the national championship, top 12 boats, Brian and Nathan from Egan High School. What happened?
Okay, so we went to the creek that was treating us so well. And when we first pulled up there, there was one cypress tree at the beginning. And every single day I'd see the water line keep dropping. So, and then when we got in there on day three, I see that it dropped like 6 inches. I'm just like, oh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So we went all the way back. We fished it all the way back, and it probably goes back about half a mile all the way back. And then there's a bridge. And the day before that, Nathan lost a fish right on a bridge pillar. And I took a cast there with the same bait. It was a Northland Tackle 3/8 ounce spinner bait. I took the same cast, and the same fish came up on the bait, and I caught it the third day. So it's like, well, good thing you didn't catch it the second day because it would have helped us.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We caught that, and that was our first fish. And we're like, okay, they're still in the creek. And this creek, we would always go all the way down, and we would never catch a fish on the way down. We would catch all our fish coming out on the way back every single time. I don't know if it had something with the fish were fishing, facing a certain way. But just something about we'd flip all the trees on the way down and not catch a single fish. And our hope would be all the way at the bottom. And we'd go all the way. We'd work our way all the way back out. And as soon as we got to those trees, working our way back out, every single time we would catch a fish.
Hey, your listeners will get a kick out of this because we're on the radio, of course. I'm on the Big Q right now. Bob Total Country on Tuesday and Saturday. This is radio, and the young man here is drawing pictures on the table as to where all the fish are going. His hands are like boomers sometimes.
I do the same thing. So, Nathan, so it's day three, and at this time you have two or three fish, right?
I think we got two out of like our main creek, and it was probably about like 9 o'clock, and we only had two fish.
All right. Yep. What did you do at that point, Nathan?
So we had two fish. And it did slow down, and that was out of our main creek. We caught two fish.
Two dinks, too. You could say they're about 16 inches.
Yeah, two keepers in our main creek. So we were pretty happy that we at least got those two out of the way, and we knew we still had needed three more. And we realized our creek was kind of slowing down. So we thought about our other creek that was only about a mile away from this one, and we knew it wasn't as good as this one, but we knew we could hopefully catch one or two in there. So we went to that creek just thinking we'll let our main creek load up with some more fish a little bit. So we went to that other creek, and Brian ended up catching our best keeper. Actually, he ended up catching like the second best fish in our bag that day. It was nice.
That was okay. So at 9:30, there's a mandatory break. And then my dad and Nathan are like, all right, we need to leave. We need to get out of here. And there is a tree about like 10 yards in front of us. I'm like, well, I'm going to pitch to that tree and catch one. Because I'm telling you, I just know there's a bass in that tree. And they're like, well, I don't think so. I'm just like, just give me 10 flips and I'll catch one. Went to that tree about like on the fourth flip, I caught one.
How big was it?
Boy.
It was probably about 3 pounds. And we were like, and that boost, like, during this tournament, a 3-pounder was huge.
They were using Bass Tracker, and at that time, I know.
Oh, they had.
Yeah, on the final day, used Bass Tracker, and we were at 4.8 pounds with two fish, and this one came in. We estimated. I always underestimate for the boys.
Yeah.
I estimated at about 3 pounds, and it was maybe a little bit more. But the point is, the decision they made to take a risk to get out of the creek where they caught 10 keepers the day before. We had to go through that shallow water and get in our creek. They pulled one fish out of there.
What place were you in on day three going into it?
Sixth place.
So you bumped up eventually to third. So you got three fish in the live well. Walk me through what happens next, and then let's get to weigh in.
Okay, so then after that, we had about, I don't know, we probably had like 2 hours left to fish. And there was just one creek in pre-fishing. Well, it wasn't really a creek. It was just the back of a cove, and there's just one little pot. There's a fallen tree and some. Okay, so down south, if you guys are listening, anyone listening out there, there's no weeds like there is up here in Minnesota, which is just crazy to think how there can't be weeds.
Yeah,
but there's these thing. I don't know. It was like some bush type thing. I don't know if it was a weed or some type thing. But we went there.
Well, they do have hydrilla, but not on Kentucky Lake.
No,
do they?
No. They kick. They, I don't know what they do. They spray
so
it down.
So, Nathan, take them through how he pulled that fish out of that area that you guys pulled those couple of fish out of that one and wound up being a keeper in that day that you were hot to trot to go to.
Yeah, we were. We ended up fishing that spot during that tournament, though. And so we caught 4 shorts and 1 keeper when we made that decision to go there. So that was another great decision. So at that point, we're at 4 fish.
So now real fast quick, forward to the final creek.
Final creek, we got about two minutes left. And then walk
Nathan,
us through.
Nathan, why don't you walk in through it? We're coming out of the final creek now. We went back to our original creek. We're working our way out. We know we only got less than 45 minutes to get back to the landing.
Well, first, again, we worked our way all the way down. Didn't catch a single fish again because we're like, oh, crap. Then on the way back again, like always happens, Nathan caught one. Good one on that Northland Tackle, what was it, a white and chartreuse spinnerbait? I don't know.
White spinnerbait, and it was the fifth keeper of day three, and I actually caught it only on the trailer hook. We were using trailer hooks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All of our spinnerbaits because, you know, it's a serious tournament. And
talk about what happened next, Nathan.
So Brian just watched me catch that one on the spinnerbait. He tied one on his rod because we knew if we just throw spinner baits for the remaining time that we have, that might be our best chance. And he tied one on. It was like first or second cast. He caught the kicker fish. It was about a 4-pounder. Right after that, we had like 5 minutes left to go.
Yep.
5 minutes left to go. So then you hightail into weigh-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What are you thinking when you're in the weigh-in line?
I knew we had a big bag, but I didn't know it was going to be that good because these guys down here from Alabama, I mean, they're hammers. They fish this lake all the time down there. So I'm just like, well, we got to be happy that we made it to day three, top 12. This has never happened for a Minnesota team. And we had 5 fish all 3 days. And it turns out at the end of the tournament, there was only 2 teams out of 337 that had 5 fish every single day.
That's unbelievable.
And it was us in first place.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is actually. Wow.
So you guys finished with 38 pounds, give or take, and first place was 50 pounds. Did you talk to the young men who talked to 50 pounds and see what their strategy was and what they did differently?
They were doing the exact same thing we were doing, fishing a dirty water creek all the way back.
Isn't that something?
Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. And then so now you guys have finished third at the high school national championship. You guys, real quick, going to continue a career in fishing after this? Nathan, you go, and then Nathan, you go first for about a minute. Brian, you go for a minute, and then we're going to get to our next guest.
Yeah, especially after this experience down here, I'd love to continue to keep doing this because I think Brian and I think we got a great shot at being successful in these tournaments. So.
Well, after this, I'm going up to Bemidji State, and they have a really good fishing team, and I'm going to be fishing college fishing now after this, and that's really huge now, too. And then after college, I hope to either fish the Bassmaster Opens or FLW Opens and see where it takes me. Hopefully I can make the elites or fish on the tour someday.
Hey, thanks for being in the studio. It's rare, and I really appreciate your efforts to come in here because it's a lot of fun. This is a hell of a story. We're talking with Nathan Thompson and Brian Linder and Daddy Michael over there, who was the captain who took these guys around, and they took third place in the National Bass Fishing Bassmaster High School Bass National Championship in Tennessee on Lake Kentucky, and it's the first time, the highest finish ever for a high school team. And from the state of Minnesota, right?
Yes, it is.
Thanks for being on the air, guys.
Thanks for having us.
No, don't leave now. We're going to talk walleyes with a friend of ours. Because you're a walleye guy, and we're going to talk to Scotty Seibert about a tournament he was on Lake of the Woods here the last couple of days, and I just talked to him a couple of hours ago. So, is he on? You got him on the air, pal? Is he on? Hey, Scotty, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Scott, you just sent me a text and said you're waiting for us, and you're cooking some walleyes on the grill right now.
Yep.
Well, good for you, pal. Yeah, I tell you what, we don't have as much time as we'd like because we're having a lot of fun with these young men who just accomplished something that no other high school fishing team did in the state of Minnesota. They took third in the national tournament down in Tennessee, and congratulations to them. But you just came back from Lake of the Woods. Tell us what was happening on Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, well, I want to say congratulations to them guys fishing that tournament. It's great seeing these kids get involved in that fishing.
Yep,
so,
yep. Thank you.
Great job.
Yeah,
we just got back. We fished the AIM Walleye Series Championship up on Lake of the Woods. And, you know, we were up there for a week. We got up there Monday, had, 4 days of pre-fishing, thinking we had this stuff figured out. Come in Thursday, and I got 30 pounds. You know, we got these fish. We got dialed in.
And then?
I love the laugh.
And then along came John. No, keep going. What happened then? Because obviously you think, well, we got this thing dialed in. But like Boomer says, fishing is fishing. It's not catching. And things changed in 24 hours.
Oh, and it's such a big lake. You know, that size of a lake is just huge. And these fish actually move a mile or two a day. And that's what got us is we were on these fish one day. And, you know, and then we found them every day after that. Then all of a sudden, third day, it's like, okay, we're dialed. And then they moved. The crazy part about this is the top 10 teams, 80-plus pound bags of fish. That's five fish a day, so a total of 10 fish. Top weight was 91.25 pounds.
Now, averaging 9 pounds of fish, I can't believe it. That's wonderful. Go ahead, Boomer's got something to say.
I was going to say, we got a minute left. So, Scotty, how did you guys finish?
We ended up in 43rd. No, actually 49th.
How many teams were there, Scott?
Out of 56.
How many teams were there?
There was 56 teams. We ended up with 45 pounds, you know, and we're thinking, great, you know, we're that's a good two-day tournament, normal lake, you know, fishing. That's 45 pounds. It's a good bag. But with these guys, you know, there's phenomenal anglers in there, and they figured it out and got it dialed in. And
I mean, I can't believe
90
it.
Pounds. So is that true, Scotty, if my math is correct with my college degree? Is that a 9-pound average on walleyes?
That it is. I mean, these guys, one of the guys, it was a 30 1/4 was their first fish of day two. It's like, really? You know, then it's a 28, you know, then it's a 29, you know. It's just, it's amazing, the fishery up there at Lake of the Woods.
That's a two-day tournament, right, Scott?
It is.
Wow. Yep. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Scott, one thing I asked you before I left you this afternoon, and thanks for picking up that kayak for me, is do you guys all get together, I asked Scott, after you're done and say, boy, here's what we did, and you said sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. This time a lot of the guys didn't, and why was that? Why didn't they share information with you?
There's another major tournament going on up there in a couple of weeks, so they don't want to pass on any of the information to help anybody else out because they got friends fishing it or they're fishing it themselves. So yeah.
Now, one thing you mentioned,
tell me
the kind of bait they were using.
What kind of baits?
Well, yeah, you're telling me they were crankbaits, of course.
Presentation.
But how big were they?
Number 14 Flicker or 14 Rapala. was the choice of that was the ninth place team. They were the only ones that gave up information. Husky Jerks, number 14 Husky Jerks. You know, we were pulling number 11 Flicker Minnows. But doing lead core, pulling lead core, 250 to 300 feet behind the boat is what we were doing. You let it out till you tick the bottom, fishing 33 feet of water. But bigger the bait, faster the, you know, we were going 2.8 to 3 miles an hour to get these fish to trigger.
Well, Scotty, we're going to
figure that out.
We're going to have
going 2.5 miles an hour, and I reeled the fish. I started reeling my bait in to move, and I caught a fish. So then we sped up after that. So
well, I tell you what, Scotty.
How things work.
We're going to have you back on. Thanks again for joining us. We got caught a little long here with these two high school kids that are going on to college from the state of Minnesota. They finished third in the national championships. Nice update from Scott Seibert. Scary similar to what happened on Devil's Lake when that 20-year-old Dustin Niebaum was pulling flicker shads and husky jerks at about 35 feet of water. But with that being said, Boomer Strew, producer Mark, and don't forget to get outdoors.